Welcome to another inspirational message from Atmosphere Church. For more content like this, visit atmospherechurch.com.
One of the most important revelations that he had come to earth to reveal to us is not really religion. Did you know that Jesus did not come to institute religion? He came to institute a kingdom. He didn't come to introduce religion to people because religion was already in Israel. But he came to institute a kingdom mentality. And notice this, how important was the kingdom of God? Let me tell you that when Jesus resurrected, the Bible says that he remained 40 days on earth. Now notice this, 40 days. I don't know about you, but if someone told you you only have 40 days left on earth, what do you think you will do? The things that matter most. Well, hopefully, some of you guys are giggling. You guys are probably going to sin till the last day, ask for forgiveness. No. Yeah, what? If on 40 days, if we just had 40 days on earth, you know, you would literally do everything on your bucket list that is the most important thing for you. Everything on your checklist. I had to do this. I had to experience that. Or whatever it is, you would put it, whatever's important to you. And guess what was important to Jesus? The Bible says that in those 40 days after he resurrected, before he ascended to heaven, he did one thing. He spoke about the kingdom. Why? It's because to him it was so important for his disciples not to know just theology or for his disciples just to know how to be leaders. No, he wanted to teach them kingdom principles. Because only the kingdom, if we understand the kingdom, we will be truthful sons and daughters of God. Now, let me tell you where I'm going, okay? Hopefully you're following me, okay? I just have this energy. Sorry, I'm just pacing myself, okay? The kingdom is so important to us. And maybe nowadays we don't understand what the kingdom of God is. Because in reality, we haven't grown up living in a kingdom. You know, in today's society, what are we used to? We're accustomed to democracy, right? Or we're accustomed to communism. We're accustomed to democracy. And a lot of us believe that that is the best system that exists. But let me tell you that to God, the best system is actually kingdom, not democracy. But it is man that has corrupted kingdom. So democracy isn't what's important. It's theocracy that God cares about. But to understand, because a lot of us haven't grown up in a kingdom society, you know, for example, those who live in England, you know, when now that, what's his name, Prince Harry, am I getting it wrong? Prince Harry, yeah, he's now having his awesome wedding, and guess what, everyone is in tears, everyone's excited. Why? Because that's Prince Harry, that's like, you know, that's kingdom. I believe that they understand kingdom more than us because kingdom has a lot to do with honor. Kingdom has a lot to do with understanding who the king is. Let me explain this to you. The kingdom of God, when people were asking Jesus, they said, Jesus, where is the kingdom? I want you to reveal to us what the kingdom of God is. Please show me where the kingdom of God is. Because the Pharisees believed that the kingdom that was prophesied in the Bible was going to be a literal kingdom. That may come in the future. But Jesus said this, the kingdom is neither here nor there. All right, Jesus, where is it then? If it's neither here nor there, I don't understand. Where is your kingdom? Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. It's in the midst of you. The disciples of Jesus said, you know, I don't understand this. What is the kingdom? And Jesus would say, okay, let me put it in a different form. Maybe you'll understand. The kingdom is in the midst of you, and it will one deep day be in you. He was referring to his spirit. He was referring to himself. I want you to understand that the kingdom of God is a person, not a location. The kingdom of God is the spirit of God. It is Jesus. And when we say that the kingdom of God is in us, everything that Jesus was is inside of us. His kingship is inside of us. And that ought to excite you, because if you understand your position as king, if you understand your position as queen, man, you won't be down all the time. You'd be so excited. You'll be so, you know, you'll be so empowered. And that's my point in this series, for you to understand the importance of kingdom mentality. So watch this. So what is the kingdom of God? It's not a place, it's a rule or reign. Okay? Now, the kingdom you carry has everything to do with who sits on the throne. The kingdom inside of you depends on who is sitting on the throne of your heart. Now, let's be honest, to the most of us, who is sitting on our hearts, in the throne of our hearts? Ourselves, right? We're also worried about our own kingdom. We're worried about building our own success. We're all worried about, you know, building our own lives. You know, let's not talk about being selfless. Let's not talk about giving or sacrificing to other people. You know, pastor, I'll serve the church up to the point when it takes me out of my convenience, right? That's our mentality. But if Jesus was in the throne of your heart, your priorities change. Your priorities shift. And this is what I want to get to. Let's, you know, it's important for us to understand the kingdom. And Jesus, in many occasions in the Bible, he says the kingdom is like this, the kingdom is like that. So let's focus on one aspect of the kingdom. So let's go to Matthew 13:44. Let's go to Matthew 13:44, and when you have it, just say amen. You have it? Awesome. You know what's another interesting thing about a kingdom? Is that in a democracy, citizens own property, assets. You know, back, you know, you may think, you know, you own the sheep, the cow, you know, the hay in your farm. That is in democracy. We own that. But in the kingdom, the king owns everything. And this is important for us to understand as we read this. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had. What did he sell? All he had, and bought that field. Now notice this. One more time, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold what? Everything. And he bought it. So notice this. I want you to really focus on this parable. Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God is like someone who stumbled upon a treasure. And what he did is that he looked at it and he hid it. Of course you're going to hide it. You find treasure, man, you're going to hide it. And he hid it, and what he did is that he sold everything he had, and he bought the field so that he could have the treasure. Because he didn't want the field, he wanted the treasure. We're getting somewhere, okay? So I want you to understand this. Jesus wasn't saying, buy the kingdom of God. Understand that. That's not what he's saying. That's not the purpose of this parable. He's not saying, everyone, you have to pay for the kingdom of God or to have access to the kingdom of God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this. If you have found the kingdom of God, there are now conditions of your citizenship. Okay? When here in Canada, we may be born and we have our citizenship, right? You know, when you're born in Canada, you tend to have your citizenship. But what happens? Can you just do whatever you want now? No, there are now conditions of being a citizen of Canada. What are one of the benefits? One of the benefits is that I get to pay taxes. So wonderful, right? What's another benefit? You know, a benefit of you get a health card. So there are benefits to being a citizen, but there are conditions. I cannot run through a red light, right? That makes sense? I shouldn't be speeding more than the speed limit. Amen. Let that confront you. Okay? We have to follow certain constitutions. But here, so Jesus is saying this. Look, this man didn't look for the treasure. The treasure found him. Okay? The kingdom, he didn't have to look for the kingdom. The kingdom found him, his life. The treasure, you know, stumbled upon his pathway. And what he did is that once he had an encounter with the kingdom, his complete heart shifted. There was a renewal of his mind. His priority shifted. No longer was God second place in his life. God was first in his life. And this is the condition. If we are all kingdom people in this house, if we are all kingdom mentality in this place, then what needs to be the condition of our hearts? That God needs to be our priority. Okay? This word might offend us. You know, this preaching might offend you or confront you as it confronted me. But in reality, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to leave everything. You got to let everything go to follow me. Now, that's crazy. That's crazy to ask. And notice this. Okay? So, how should I put it in perspective? Recently, I bought Jarlene a birthday gift. Let's just say that it was a sacrifice. I wanted to get her something nice. I wanted to honor her because she's such a wonderful mother. You're amazing. I love you so much. I wanted to honor her. So, you know, I wanted her to go and pick out, you know, the best purse that she wanted. Okay? And it was going to be a gift. She doesn't have to work for it or anything. But I just told her, you know, if we're going to spend that much, make sure it's the purse that you want. I don't want it to just be the purse that you settled on. I want it to be the purse. Okay? I want it to be the purse that you want. The purse that you don't want anything else. That's the one. Oh, man, I'm going to break this again. Oh, I broke it, people. I broke it. I'm sorry. Okay? I told her, this has to be the purse. If we're going to spend this much, it has to be the purse that you want. And this is the same way. When God comes to us, he says, I want to give you the treasure. But it has to be. The only condition is that it has to be the treasure in your life. It can't just be a generic thing. In the same way, you know, when you're going to give someone a gift, you hope that that gift means something to them, right? It kind of sucks when you give a gift to someone and they don't cherish it. They just throw it away. I've done that before. Actually, we were talking about that yesterday. You know, sometimes I have cool design shirts and people ask me, hey, where'd you get it? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know if someone gave it to me or if... I don't even remember who gave it to me. I feel so bad, though. And the thing is that when you give a gift to someone, you expect them to cherish it. You expect them to acknowledge it and say, wow, like, thank you. This is the gift that I wanted. And in the same way, God is saying, I want to give you the kingdom of God. I want to give you my spirit. I want to give you my life. I want to give you everything. All of heaven is yours. But it better be the heaven you want. I want to give you everything. I want to give you of myself, but I better be the God that you wanted. And here's the thing. So what this man did was this. So he sold everything that was his, and he bought the field, and he finally had his treasure. This is beautiful, because nowadays what we see is that some people find God, but he becomes last in their priority list. Think about this. What has to happen in a, for example, what has to happen in a Middle Eastern country when someone wants to accept Jesus in their life? Do you think it's all happy and all rainbows and just amazing? What happens? They are either shunned by their family or, you know, their family's upset with them because their culture now has... you know, is completely different to the Christian culture. And so to be Christian is literally to become someone else, right? And it's in the same way, like, for example, or in places where, for example, reading the Bible is illegal, where there are places like that. When they accept Jesus, it's not just, I've accepted Jesus in my life. My life is perfect. It's now, I've accepted Jesus, and now it's going to cost me something. What does it cost? What Jesus is saying here is that to some of us, Christianity or accepting God is going to cost you something. For example, you might have come to Christ and you may have lost some friends. Yeah? Is that some of you here? Yeah. You have come to Christ and maybe you lost some friends. That was a price to pay. For some of us, we come to Christ and we lose family. On others of us, we come to Christ and we lose job opportunities that we could have had. There's a cost at times for following the gospel, for following Jesus. But what Jesus is saying, that it's all worth it, man. It's all worth it. Whatever you leave behind, whatever you let go, whatever you have sold, I'm going to make it worthwhile. But that's where it is. To you, is the kingdom of God worthwhile? Is it worth it to you? Let me give you another analogy. For example, if you were to want to buy a house, let's just say in an imaginary place in Toronto, you find a beautiful mansion for $500,000, okay? Yeah, so true, amen. All right, we want that, yes. Okay, so let's say you find a beautiful house for $500,000. And then what happens, and to you, whoa, that's a lot of money. But as you're inspecting the house, all of a sudden, your real estate agent says, actually, yo, you better buy this property because there is oil under the house. What are you going to do? I'm gonna get money that I don't even have to buy that house. Yeah, what are you going to do if you find out there's oil under that? And they're just asking for $500,000. You're going to go everywhere to borrow. You're going to sell everything you have so that you can get that house. Because you know what it's actually worth. And in the same way, do you not know what is in God's kingdom? Don't you know that there is treasures there that are more and much more higher and above than whatever we have in material things on earth? So when God says, jump, I say, how high? When God says, do something, I say, okay, I will do it. Just tell me how far I have to go. Because I know whatever it costs me, I know that God is going to provide for me. Where God guides, He provides. Where God sends you, He will make sure that there's resources for you to accomplish the mission. So here's the thing. What is the kingdom worth to you? Oh, pastor, I'm so tired because the church asks me for so many things. They tell me I have to serve on Friday and on Sunday. Oh, my God. They tell me that I have to go on, serve at a conference, and I don't know what to do. Here's the thing. What is God worth to you? I want you to hear a key word, okay? The Bible says, with joy, He sold everything in exchange. Notice, He didn't do it with bitterness. He did it with joy. He enjoyed. He enjoyed to give to God. He enjoyed to sacrifice. Let's go back to that analogy. You find oil in the house. You find oil there. Are you going to buy it with bitterness? Ugh, I have to buy this house. No, you're going to be buying it with joy. Man, I'm ripping this guy off. I want you to notice something. You're ripping God off because He's offering all of heaven just for your heart. He's getting ripped off big time. And so when we give Him our heart, we got to enjoy it because He's not asking for much. Amen? So, and here's the next thing that we can learn from this parable. Remember, what did He do? He found the treasure, and then what did He do? He hid it. I'm not talking about, when you find Jesus, hide Jesus in your life and never tell anyone about it. That's not what it's saying here, okay? What it's saying here is that He found treasure and He went out of His way to protect it. What does Jesus want us to understand? When you have the kingdom of God, you protect the kingdom of God. You ought to protect it. God can only entrust to you how much you're willing to protect. He will give you as much anointing as you are willing to protect. And that's the thing, a lot of us don't appreciate or protect the anointing over our life. Could it be that's why we can't flow anymore? Okay? With joy, he sold everything in exchange. Now, what is the other thing I want you to understand here? That you might lose a lot in your life. You might lose friends. You might lose money. You might lose jobs. You might lose so much in your life. But I want you to notice this. You might lose the world, but you'll gain the one who owns it. You might lose everything, but you'll gain Jesus, which is everything in himself. I don't know about you, but I think gaining Jesus has been the best thing in our lives, hasn't it? It's been the best thing in our life. He gives us things that only he can give. Peace, joy, happiness. These are, you know, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a product of the kingdom of God. Now watch this. For many people, Jesus becomes, you know, literally just, you know, receiving him and nothing happens in our life. There's no sacrifice, there's no change, there's no difference. There's nothing that is taken from us. In fact, a lot of the modern gospel, the modern gospel is receive Jesus and God doesn't require anything from you. But I want to tell you this. Paul actually said, you know what, I could lose my life, but I will gain it all. If I lose my life, Jesus is my gain. The apostles understood that there may be an exchange that is required for the kingdom of God. Because when the kingdom of God comes, there might be a cost. Because the kingdom is everything. You might be saying, that's just so radical. You know, there's even young people today that, you know, when their parents tell them, don't come to church. Yeah, I want to tell you something. If your parents tell you don't come to church, you have permission to be a rebel. Yeah? Amen. Amen. Yeah. How many of you guys want to be rebels against your parents? I don't know. Yeah. If your parents said, I prohibit you to get baptized, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rebel against my parents and I will get baptized. That's the thing. In many families, people prohibit, people tell them, no, don't do this or don't do that. But if God is everything to you, you understand that it might cost you your family. It might cost you your brother. It might cost you your friends. It might cost you your job. It might cost you something in life. But you got to understand, you might be saying, Pastor, you're just getting too religious. This is just too radical. But that is how it is. It's God's kingdom. These are not my words, but God's words. Look at what Jesus says. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but what? A sword. That's crazy coming out of Jesus' mouth. I thought Jesus is wonderful. I thought Jesus was supposed to bring everything together. In fact, the gospel might cost us something. I know this might not be the message that you want to hear, but it gets better, I promise you. But it might cost us everything. But notice this, okay? The kingdom, remember, we read that the kingdom of God is like a man that bought a land. And then he says again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant that found a pearl of great value. Okay? I want you to understand this. Like a merchant. In the first parable, we were called people who just stumbled on treasure. On the second parable, we're called people like merchants. I want you to understand this. That people who are merchants are not nobodies. They are people with understanding. Okay? Merchants are good at finding deals and placing a price on something. For example, you know, if you're a comic book collector, you don't just buy any comic. You go and look for a comic that is worth a lot of money, right? If you buy real estate, you're not going to just buy any house. You're going to buy a house that has good value and good potential, right? But can anyone do that job? No. It requires someone to become a merchant. It requires someone to have the perception, understanding the value that something has. Now notice this, in the first aspect, We stumble upon the treasure. We didn't know that it was valuable, but now we know, wow, there's gold there. Now I know it's valuable. In the second parable, you are actively looking for the treasure. This is the pattern. In the beginning, when I come to Christ, he stumbles upon me. Next, I become a merchant under the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking his treasure, seeking the pearls of the kingdom of God. You understand that? Now it's becoming active seekers for the pearls. Now I want you to understand this, that to become a merchant, you got to have the perception of a merchant. You got to recognize if something has value or not. Let's talk about perception for a minute. You know, right now on the interwebs, there's a sound clip that is tearing apart families, tearing apart society as itself. Yeah. And this sound clip plays the word Laurel, but some people hear Yanny. Like, is that? Who here hears Yanny? Yeah, you hear Yanny? All right, we're going to do an altar call after, and then, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, this is, I want you to understand things. Okay, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it's kind of similar to like the black and blue and the white and gold dress. You guys remember that phenomenon, that thing? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how some people saw white and gold, and other people saw, you know, black and blue. I even heard people saying that it was brown and another color. I don't know. Those people need Jesus. Okay. All right. But this is the thing, that everyone sees something different. Some people saw the black and the blue. Other people saw the white and the gold. In the same way that when the Holy Spirit is in you, now you see opposite to what the world sees. While the world is hearing Yanny, we're hearing Laurel. Do you understand? Like, it's just, I hope you're catching my analogy here. While everyone sees the black and blue, you see the white and gold. But it's because the Holy Spirit is in you. Your value perspective changes. Are you understanding that? Going clubbing or coming to youth service. Without the Spirit, going clubbing sounds amazing. But with the Spirit, I see the value of youth service. Are you understanding that? Go chill with my friends or go to Connect Group. Go to Connect Group. The Spirit of God changes your perspective on what is valuable. It changes your perspective on what is worth a lot. And that's what I want you to understand. If you have lost the worth or the value that you have for God, could it be that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to change our perception? Amen? Yeah. I know we all need to be able to understand what's the difference in value of things. Okay. Our eyes need to change. Now, how are your spiritual senses? Have you lost your interest in the things of God? A true question will be, do you seek other things more than the things of God? Have you become more distracted on the things of the world than the things for God? That is a perfect gauge for us to understand if we truly value like that man, the kingdom of God is everything to me. I'm willing to do whatever it is to follow God. I'm willing to do whatever it is, whatever it costs, whatever it will cost me. I want to make sure that I maintain my relationship with God. How are your spiritual senses right now? Are you a person who's saying, man, I want to be sold out for Jesus? Or are you burned out for Jesus? I want to tell you something, that it all comes down to our value of the kingdom. You submit to the kingdom that you honor or esteem. If you don't honor the kingdom, or if you don't see it as important, then it's not going to have much effect in your life. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell people. Man, the kingdom of God is not just something that you can take lightly or be indifferent to. Because if you're indifferent to the kingdom might not have an effect in your life. But for those who are violent, they take the kingdom by force. For those who are passionate, they take the kingdom by force. What we have to understand is how to value the things of God as if it's everything in our life. I don't know if you truly value God's kingdom, or have we placed a price on it? Well, let me tell you this, okay? Let's actually turn to Luke 5:27. I promise this will be the last verse that I read. How many of you guys are learning so far about the kingdom? Yeah? Awesome. Luke 5:27. Let's see what it says here. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Okay? I don't know what Jesus was doing looking for an accountant, but he found one, a tax collector, the CRA. And he says, "Follow me." Jesus said to him, and look what it says. And Levi got up. What did he leave? Just a few things. He left everything and followed him. Here's a pattern. What else did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, "Disciples of mine, when you're going to go out to preach, I want you to take a few things." No, leave everything behind because I will provide for you. Whatever you need, I will give to you. You might see, God will provide for you. Not what you want, but what you need. Yeah? So God will provide what you need, not what you want. Okay? So Levi, he saw Jesus. He saw the treasure in front of him. He saw the kingdom of God walking before his eyes. And Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, Jesus didn't say, "Leave everything behind," because that's the cost of the kingdom. Did Jesus say that? We all read the same verse. Did Jesus say that? He didn't say, "Levi, leave everything and follow me." He said, "Levi, follow me." And what was Levi's response once he witnessed the kingdom of God in front of him? He left everything behind. Left everything and followed him. Here's the thing, that it ought to be a natural response for us when we recognize God's kingdom. Man, I want to leave everything behind to follow this kingdom. There's something special. There's something valuable about this kingdom. I recognize that there is something powerful in this kingdom that I'm willing to let go of whatever it is. You will see that the people of God always left something behind in order to follow God. Whether it was family, whether it was riches, whatever it was. But God always had a promise. Whatever you lose, you might lose family, you might lose brothers, you might lose fathers, you might lose your parents, you might lose everything in your life. But I will be your provider. I will provide for you. And God says to you today that he's a better manager than the world. He pays better than the world. If only you decided to serve him and to give to him. I can testify to that even in my own life. I'm telling you, if I can turn back time, for those of you who don't know, I'm a full-time pastor right now. I'm not saying that everyone's walk is to leave literally their job and everything behind. That may be your walk or not. But I left my career to go full-time into the ministry. And when I think back at it, and let's say that there was this time machine that I could go back, I would do it all over again. I would let go of that job in a heartbeat to follow God. Because God has given me more than what the world could have given to me. God, in the world, I would have been still stuck in my debt, in my OSAP. But following God, he somehow supernaturally provided for me. It's crazy. I don't understand it. I remember, I always say this all the time. You know, when I got married with Jars, we didn't have anything. In fact, there she is again. I love you so much. You're everything to me. when we first got married, you know, we weren't rich. We didn't have everything. That's what it was called? No, it was Emmett Avenue. That's what it is. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Emmett Avenue. That's my hood, man. I grew up in Jane and Weston. I relate to Drake, man. I relate to Jane and Weston. Our first year, our honeymoon year was spent. Gunshots and all, everything. It was wonderful. But that's the thing, you know, we started off like that. And that's how I knew. I said to my wife, "I don't know what we're going to do because In all honesty, man, we're not rich. We don't have all the money in the world. And man, the only thing I'm doing is serving the Lord. But God told me, why do you say that's the only thing you're doing? You're doing the thing that is worth a lot. When we bought our house, I told my wife, I'm like, man, I know we have a mortgage. I know we're paying a mortgage, but God is telling me to quit my job right now. And that's my wife being so supportive. And in an instant, she said, do it. God is telling you to do it, do it. Because she has witnessed that when you're obedient to God, He will provide no matter what it is. No matter what it is in your life, if you just are obedient to Him, He will provide for you. That's not everyone's walk. Everyone's walk might not be that you quit your full-time job and you become a pastor. That might not be your call. I'm just saying, what God asks of you, and if it seems like a loss, if it seems like you're getting ripped off, if it feels like your whole life is being torn apart, if you feel like your relationship is going down the drain at the cost of Christ, let me tell you that it's worth it. Whatever you let go of, whatever you leave behind, though it hurts, though you might not understand it, it is worth it all. Because God is better than whatever it is that you let go of. I don't know if I'm getting myself to be understood in this place, but if there's anything I want you to understand or to capture from this teaching is this: the kingdom of God requires us to value it above everything in our life. But let me flip this over. Remember, the merchant goes out and seeks a pearl and sells everything to buy the pearl. We read that, right? That is the kingdom of God. But let me flip it over for you. Let me tell you that Jesus did the same for us. Jesus, looking for value, He found value in you. And what He did is that He sold everything He had, left His kingdom, left everything behind so that He can buy you, so that He can purchase you. And that's God's kingdom. How can we not respond the same way? God, if you were sold out for me, I'm going to be sold out for you. God, if you were radical for me, I'm going to be radical for you. If you just ask me for a bit of time in the week, I'm going to do it. If you ask me to give something to someone, I'm going to give it. Whatever it is that God is asking of you, do it, because God will provide. Amen. Now look at this. Best of all, Jesus tells us to leave everything behind. But one thing is this, returning to the kingdom of God, what we leave behind, we understand that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. You know, ambassadors never have to worry what they're taking to the country they're getting to. Ambassadors know that everything is taken care of. Amen? Isn't that crazy? Ambassadors know that wherever they go, they're going to be taken care of. Because they are ambassadors of the kingdom. They're not carriers of wealth. They're carriers of the message of their leader. And so if all you have is the message, then that's all you need. Carry. The only thing you need to take is the message, the gospel. Whatever it is that God has called you and purposed you to do, do it. And God will provide for you. He has called us to be ambassadors of His kingdom. I love it. Okay? So if you haven't heard anything that I've said tonight, if you haven't been hearing anything, you've been zoned out, tune in to this. I want you to really hear this. Listen to this. Jesus tells us that there is a cost, that when we witness the kingdom, that we got to value it, that we got to cherish it, that we have to cherish it with all of our hearts. But the thing is that many of us, we don't cherish it. In fact, the kingdom becomes the last thing in our life. But I want to tell you, whatever it is that the kingdom is costing you, and I feel in my heart that there are youth, young people right now in this place, that right now they're saying that the kingdom of God is costing them a lot. It's costing them their friendships. It's costing them perhaps their popularity. It's costing them their status. Pastor, I'm too afraid to post a Christian post on my Instagram. Because you value your reputation more than you value Jesus.